Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdel Nasser Jengda, and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. I wanted to welcome you to a new series here on the Qalam Podcast, which features lectures and sessions conducted at the Qalam Conference. On January the 4th, 2020, we conducted a day-long Qalam conference for the entire DFW Muslim community. That is the Dallas-Fort Worth community where Qalam is located and Qalam is based. This was a free day-long conference that we conducted here that had sessions for youth, for kids, and for the general community. The topic of the conference was the Quran. Alhamdulillah, at Qalam, we have a full-time seminary which features a number of scholars and instructors, and now we have graduates and new instructors being added to the faculty. We also have many senior students who have been at the seminary for years learning the Islamic sciences. Alhamdulillah, this entire conference was put together, was conducted and was spoken at by Qalam scholars, Qalam teachers, Qalam instructors, Qalam graduates, and senior seminary students at Qalam. And this was done for the benefit of our local community. So alhamdulillah, I wanted to take the opportunity to share these sessions with you. The topic was the Quran and how it applies to our practical everyday lives. I hope you find the sessions beneficial. Inshallah, if they are beneficial to you, please do the following things. Number one, share them with family and friends, because these sessions are being provided free for everyone's benefit. Number two, go to supportqalam.com. That is support, Q-A-L-A-M, supportqalam.com, and consider being a sustainer to help make this knowledge available to more and more people. And number three, if you use an Apple device, go to the App Store and download the free, amazing Qalam app, in which you can download and listen to all Qalam podcast series and sessions. Jazakumullahu khairan, and enjoy the session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. What does exactly mean? How do we go about in understanding the Quran? What does that entail? So on and so forth. And so alhamdulillah, we'll be having three presentations here as a part of this session. The first presenter will be Ustad Ubaidullah Ahmed, who, along with being a graduate from the Qalam Seminary, is now, alhamdulillah, an instructor at the Qalam Seminary, and he is the head of the Arabic program and Arabic studies overall at Qalam. So whether it be our full-time seminary, the Arabic studies at our full-time seminary, or the Arabic intensive that we conduct during the summertime, or the Arabic online program, a very, very functional program that gives you, a head start into understanding the Quran. So alhamdulillah, all the Arabic studies at Qalam are headed by Ustad Ubaidullah. So he will be the first presenter, and he will actually be presenting something very interesting, something cool, because we like to kind of do things in a more hands-on kind of way. He's actually going to be conducting an Arabic lesson. He's going to teach an Arabic 101 lesson like he does at the Qalam Seminary or during his Arabic intensive or Arabic online. How he teaches Arabic to a classroom, he's going to be teaching it to this gigantic classroom, inshallah. All right, so you all get to participate in a Quranic Arabic class, inshallah. The second presentation will be by myself. I'll be talking about translations and tafsir. What is available to us? What does that exactly mean? How to go about in navigating the whole genre of literature of translation and tafsir? So I'll try to, inshallah, delve into that topic. And then the third presenter will be Sheikh Muntasir Zaman, who is another full-time faculty member, instructor, teacher at Qalam. He teaches online classes on Qalam Connect. And he is a full-time instructor at the Qalam Seminary, where he teaches fiqh and hadith. And so inshallah, he will be sharing some research and some discussion points about Western criticism of the Quranic text. That sometimes we read online, we come across people are saying, well, the Quran's not really preserved, and this is a myth, and it's a lie, and the Quran is, you know, plagiarism, or it's fabricated, or etc., etc. So he's going to discuss some of those Western criticisms of the Quranic text. So, because that usually, the moment you start going out there to learn more and understand more about the Quran, you come across these allegations against the Quran, how do you make sense of those things? So inshallah, he will then share some of that knowledge with us as well. So inshallah, with that, I'm going to hand it over to Ustaz Ubaidul and we'll get started. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli, ameen. How are you guys doing today? Alhamdulillah. How's the day so far? Y'all were so excited when Sheikh Abu Nasr was like, you guys are going to have a half hour Arabic lesson. There was like an audible in the room. So I'm going to try to combat that a little bit. Inshallah, it won't be too technical a lesson. The objective of this session is just to give you a little bit of a taste of how an Arabic class with us would look. We're not necessarily trying to like hit an objective for the day. I'm going to test you at the end and make sure you learn this. And the objective is just for you to get a feel. So just, I'm going to feed off of your energy a little bit. There's a lot of you in here, so there should be a lot of energy, inshallah. All right, so before I jump into, I don't know how I'm going to type and hold this. Before we jump into the actual lesson that we have for the day, that's typically the lesson that we're going to cover is the first lesson that you would cover in any Arabic class. Before I jump into that, I want to talk to you a little bit about the culture in our classroom. And I think that's a very important thing to discuss because it's actually something that we take very seriously in all of our classes. What is the nature of the education that is happening? And one of the things that I like to highlight at the beginning of any Arabic class is to understand what is expected of you. All right, and I tell all my students, there's one simple recipe, one formula to success in any of my classes is for you to try to do the work that is assigned and to come to class. Just those two things. Anything, you don't have to do more than what's assigned. You just do what is assigned to you and you don't miss a second of me teaching you because I'm putting in the energy, you just got to receive it, all right? And the thing that is rewarded in all of our classes is your effort. The effort is everything, right? We don't look at the results. If you came to class every single day and you did all of your work, then you get a full grade or 100 or whatever you want to call it. It like really hurts students when they first come into the Arabic class and they're like, but I want the A. And I'm like, that's nice. We don't really have a lot of grades here. Like, but then why would I do this? And I'm like, well, that's the problem. Is that you came, usually, when you're trying to learn something that's related to your faith, you're trying to come closer to Allah, you're trying to learn the Quran, it's very important that that noble intention stay noble. Because as soon as we attach grades to it, as soon as you attach, oh, look, you failed, or you didn't get the numbers you were supposed to, that's problematic now. And really, one of the principles that we like to highlight is that the effort is everything. And we see this in the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he tells us about the reward of the person who recites the Quran. The person who recites the Quran and he does not struggle in his recitation, he gets one reward. And for the person that struggles, is having difficulty and they keep trying, they keep putting in the effort, that person gets twice the reward, which actually doesn't make any sense if you think about your education. If you've thought about your schooling up until this point, never have you been in a class where you're like, I put in so many hours and I got the A even though I failed the test. It's just not a thing, right? But what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us goes against how we've been learning thus far. So that's one of the most important things, and that is that in this class, effort is the most important thing. You'll be rewarded for the effort that you put in. And one last thing I want to mention, based on that same narration, the reward that we get from this noble endeavor, that any second that you spend having to study, any second that you spend having to come closer to Allah by trying to learn the language of His book, every moment that you spent is a moment where you're getting reward. And if you frame it in that light, it's very different now. Your struggle is very different. Your struggle now doesn't feel like, man, I'm failing. Man, I'm not good at this. Because that doesn't matter. If you're putting in more hours than the person next to you, you're getting more reward than the person next to you. And that's all that matters. That's the ultimate goal behind all of this. And that's the thing I like to emphasize at the beginning, and I try to remind students of this throughout the course. And one of the little symbols that I use on the screen sometimes, when I notice when I'm teaching a lesson, and like, I feel like I'm doing a good job. Sometimes my feelings of how the lesson is going is very different than the student's reaction. So I think I like taught the best lesson, and the reactions are just like, well, how's everybody doing? Is it good? And they're all like, they like avoid eye contact, and there's just a lot of like sighing, looking at their shoes. And I'm like, okay, I guess we need to teach this again. So one of the things that I put on the screen at that time is a 2x, right? So if you're having to struggle, if this concept is not clear right now, you need to put in more hours outside of class, that's okay, because you're going to get twice the reward for that, inshallah. So that 2x is to remind you of the multiplier, two times the reward for your struggle. All right, so let's jump into the lesson. The lesson that we're going to try to go over today in the little bit of time that we have. Okay, and for any teens, the session with Sheikh Mikhail is starting upstairs now, inshallah. So do that, inshallah. All right, so let's jump into our Arabic lesson. This is not getting much. Oh, God, here we go. Okay, thank you. Me and Abdullah have a great relationship when it comes to this stuff. He's my nemesis. My students know that. All right, so let's jump in. The lesson that we're going to talk about today is the backbone of any language. All right, and to start, I'm going to tell you a little story. All right, the story, this is a real story. This happened to me last year. A prospective student's parent came into my office, and the parent said, salams, that's not what they said, but they said, salam, I would like to enroll my student or my son next year. I said, cool, welcome. Great conversationalist I am, as you can see. And then he asked me a really kind of wild question that threw me for a loop. He said to me, he goes, are you the only teacher for the Arabic year? And I said, yeah, well, I teach most of the classes. We do have some instructors that teach like one period a day, but majority of the classes are taught by me. Then he said, and this is where he scared me, he said, what if something happens to you? And I go, what? And I was like, what? I hadn't thought about that question before. Because I was like, I don't know. So naturally, I paused for a moment, had to think about it, because he really just reminded me of the nature of life and the journey that we are all on. And I was like, okay, cool. Think of an answer. Then I said, well, you know, earlier in the year, there were substitute teachers when I had to leave or when I had to go. I had to go to Pakistan, see my grandfather. So I left, and there were substitute teachers. So there are other teachers. You've met so many of them today that can fill in. But he kind of threw me for a loop in this moment. Now, what is the objective of this story, other than this being a very interesting moment that happened to me? The objective of this story is to highlight to you one of the backbones of any language. If we go through this paragraph, this poorly written English paragraph that I put before you, you'll notice that in almost every single sentence, there is a, what kind of word is this? What is I? Okay, we need to teach English. What is my? What is you? These are pronouns. You guys can talk. This is a class, so you can talk. These are pronouns. These are pronouns. Every single language is built upon pronouns. If you can learn and master the pronouns of a language, you really get a huge leg up. So the first thing that we start our classes off with is trying to learn pronouns in Arabic. All right? And in order for us to do that, we need to just look at them in English for just a quick second, and then we'll take a look at what pronouns look like in Arabic. So if I go through all of these, help me spot all the pronouns. So we're at cool, welcome, are you the only teacher for the Arabic year? Majority of the classes are taught by me. Any pronouns in this sentence? Yeah, what is it? Me. Okay, great. What if something happens to you? You. Very good. What? No pronouns there. Earlier in the year, there were substitute teachers. Sorry. When I had to leave. Any pronouns? I. Very good. So what you'll notice is that in almost every single sentence in any language that you speak, there are pronouns, and they're very, very important. Another example this reminds me of is sometimes when my father starts telling me a story in Urdu, he starts using pronouns, but he doesn't kind of establish the noun beforehand. So he just says, yeah, then they went to this place and they met that guy. And he was like, man, that's a good deal. And then she was like, wow, that doesn't sound plausible. And I was like, I don't know who's talking. I've never mentioned any names so far. So while pronouns are really, really important, they work in the language. You need to learn them along with the rest of the language. So inshallah, today we're going to take a look at pronouns. Just like we saw in English, there's a few different types of pronouns. And I'm going to give you a few English examples, and then we'll jump into the Arabic. The first type, I make tables for no reason, as my students can tell you if any of them are here. So we're just going to throw one of those up for fun. So the first kind of pronoun that we see is anything that sounds like he, she, or they. And an example I'll give you here is he is strong. All right. Or she went to the masjid. All right. Or they ate dinner. So that's one type of pronoun, right? He, she, they, you. Another type of pronoun that we see is a slight variation of he or she or they, because we don't say he or she every single time. Sometimes we adjust it a little bit. And one of those adjustments, we would say something like Zayd helped. Would I say Zayd helped he? No, what would I say here? I would say Zayd helped him. Very good. So we're adjusting the pronoun just a little bit. You know what it means. You know it's related to he, but it's in a slightly different form. Similarly, we would say they helped her. Okay. So again, here we're noticing instead of saying she, we're using her. And then the last example I'll give you, and then we'll jump into Arabic, because I know a lot of you, I can see on your faces, you're like, Arabic class? No Arabic yet, so that's great. The last example I'll show you is when we say things like, is this an appropriate piece of information? He-book? No, not unless you're 2 years old. So how do you fix this? His book, okay, his book. What about her pen? And everyone's like, I got an example. I-book. No, that doesn't work. That's not correct either. My book, okay? So we're noticing that pronouns can appear in a bunch of different forms. So what I want all of you to do now is I've put together a worksheet for you, and I want you to take out your phones. Oh my God, everyone's like, best session ever. Take out your phones, tinyurl.com/Arabic pronouns, okay? And you'll find a document there, which I will pull up on the screen as well, but I want you to be able to have it in front of you. It's a very colorful document, special edition for this conference, never seen before. It's just a little colorful. All right, raise your hand once you have it open. Okay, URL is on the screen. Okay, perfect, thank you, those of you that raised your hand. Very nice. All right, so I'm going to pull it up here as well. So if you don't have it on your phone, whoa, stay here. If you don't have it on your phone yet, here's a document that has the different forms of pronouns. So you'll notice there's going to be three different forms. The first one, the blue page, the first page, these are independent pronouns. This is when we use he or she or they or you. So you can see it in the translation here. He, she, both of them, they, you, I, or we. Oftentimes, this pronoun will be the subject of a sentence, right? It'll be the first thing that appears in a sentence. The second type of pronoun is the next page. Whoa, bright colors. Everybody wake up. All right? The second type of pronoun is when a pronoun comes in its attached form. So in Arabic, what happens is pronouns, they attach to the ends of words. They attach to the end of a word. So here, if you look at this example, if I say kitabuka, that means your book. Notice how in English it's a different form as well. We're not saying you book or he book or she book, right? We use a different form in English as well. Or book you, yeah, or you go literal translation and go book you. That doesn't work either. So your book is what we're going with here. And then the last table, if you look at the Arabic, it's actually identical to this one, but the translations are a little bit different. So you'll notice all of these translations are possessive. They're his book, their book, y'all's book, my book, our book. And this is one of those situations where using y'all's is very helpful, because in Arabic, to distinguish between you singular, both of you, and all of you, we can say y'all to substitute the all of you. A lot of you are like, no, we don't like that. We want to live in Texas, but we don't want to embrace their language. That's okay. All right. The last table is also attached pronouns. So the Arabic part of the table looks exactly the same as the yellow one, but this time the translation's a little bit different. This is when a pronoun is attached to a verb. When you have a pronoun attached at the end of a verb, that pronoun is always the receiver or the direct object, all right? So it's not the doer of the action. So here's how to think about it. If I tell you this sentence is Zaydun Nasaraka, I say Zayd helped you, I can change that last pronoun to any one of these and change the sentence from Zayd helped you to Zayd helped me, to Zayd helped us, to Zayd helped him, Zayd helped them. So I'm just changing this pronoun, the one that is attached at the end of a verb. Now, there's a big question here, is that you can learn this chart, you can memorize it, internalize it, know it really, really well, but you don't really know how to find a noun, you don't know how to find a verb, and all that stuff is fine. When this is literally the first day of class, this is what we start with. So the objective in this lesson is just to memorize the pronouns, and with time, we're going to learn how to identify nouns, how to identify verbs, and all of it will become more and more clear. The objective of this lesson is to just memorize these pronouns, know them inside and out, so that when anyone says any one of these, or you see any of these written anywhere, you know how to translate it. All right? So let's go back to the first one, and just for the sake of time, we'll focus on this first chart only, the blue chart, you know, with the theme of Qalam and this shadi backdrop over here that we've got. So let's start with the first one, independent pronouns. So typically the way this chart is read, it's read from right to left. So you would go from here, huwa, huma, hum, hiya, huma, hunna, anta, antuma, antum, anti, antuma, antunna, and ana, nahnu. Now, you might have heard that chart before, recited many times. So there's an interesting thing that we try to do. We definitely emphasize memorization of these charts, but I want to make sure you understand what you're looking at. If you see, there's quite a bit of information on this chart. There's all these numbers and third and masculine, feminine, all this stuff going on. So let's just talk about how to read this chart. So if you notice, in Arabic, there's a singular form, which is the one column. There's a pair form, which is the two column. And then there's anything more than two. So three plus or plural is anything more than two, and that's that third column, the three plus. All right? Then the second distinction that is made in Arabic is that for each type, there's a masculine and a feminine form. All right? So for he, there's the masculine he. You don't say he feminine, but you say she. And this is an important thing to pay attention to here. Again, what I would typically say is it'll become clear in a few days why we say she, it, or they. That's not going to become clear to you in a few days. You're not just going to like have a dream and wake up and be like, I understand all the pronouns. It's not going to work. But if we were to be in a class with us, in a few days it would be very clear why the translation for hiya is she, it, or they. In Arabic, it's a flexible pronoun. It can be used for a lot of different situations. Then hum is the masculine plural, they masculine, and hunna is the feminine plural. So you'll notice we have masculine and feminine, and then we have singular, pair, and plural. The last piece of information you need to pay attention to on this chart is third, second, and first. All right? How many of you are familiar with third person, second person, first person? Okay, very few of you. The language education is great in this country. All right, I actually only learned grammar when I learned Arabic. I didn't really know grammar before this. So the third person, when it says third person is whenever you're talking about someone who is not here. All right. So whenever you're referring to someone that is not present, that is third person. So if you notice he, she, both of them, or they, that's talking about someone not present right in front of you, but someone you're referring to. Second person is the person that you are talking to, the person directly in front of you, that's second person. And first person is when you are talking about yourself. So I or we, that's first person. So first person about myself, second person to the person in front of me, and third person, someone who's not here, when I'm just referring to someone. All right, so this is the chart. I want you to take 2 minutes to talk to your neighbor and look at this chart and try to memorize it in 2 minutes. Everyone's like, what? We're doing a real express lesson. So turn to your neighbor real quick for 2 minutes. Take a look at the chart, test each other, call out a pronoun, ask them the definition of it. And I'm going to put a timer on the screen for you. Whoa, what happened to my internet? Can I drink my water? Two minutes feels like a long time when there's a timer on. I really want to play my game. Should I play my game first? It's really fun. Yeah. No, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that right after. Right now. You want me to tell
Forget
you?
It. Just want I thought this thing had it. Well, clearly it doesn't.
So what you want, Jake? Should I cue it up? Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'll
be. Wait, what happened?
No, it's fine.
We can switch seats when you go.
Huh?
We'll switch seats.
I was talking about laser pointer.
Oh, gotcha. This doesn't have it?
That's what I thought.
Like it does, right here.
Is that a laser pointer? I think that's just a button.
All right, time's up. All right, let's get started. Everyone, can I get everyone's attention, please? All right, wonderful. So let's jump back in. I want everybody to repeat after me just a few times just so you get used to hearing the pronouns, this table. Again, we're going to read it from the top right. Right to left is how we're going to move. So just repeat after me. We'll start at the top. Hua, huma, hum. Hua huma hum. Hia huma hunna. Hia huma hunna. So notice that all of these, all the third person, they start with a ha sound, right? The second person, they all start with this ant sound and variations at the end. So repeat after me. Anta, antuma, antum. Anta, antuma, antum. Anti, antuma, antunna. One more time. Anti, antuma, antunna. Not auntie. Everyone's like, auntie, antuma? No. All right, last one. Ana, nahnu. Very good. Excellent. All right, so we're going to play a quick game. You can kind of cheat for this game because typically I would have had you like spend time, memorize it, really know it well. But we're going to play a quick game. This is a game that I made because I think it's very important to know your pronouns inside and out. So I put together these random images, and you look at the image, and you think of which pronoun you would use to refer to that image. The images are very basic. There's serious copyright infringement. There's like that X over them. I made it very quickly. I could have remade it, but I kind of like, you'll see, it's amusing. And I just kind of, it reminds me of when I first started teaching, so I haven't even upgraded it. It's like, you'll see, they're really real basic pictures, and hopefully you'll understand what you're looking at when you see it. All right, so let's take a quick look. Let's try to, you got a sneak peek there. All right, what are we looking at here? Let's start with one. What are we looking at here? Okay. How many babies? Two of them. Are they boys or girls? Yeah, I know. Pink. We're going with pink for girls and blue for boys. I'm sorry, I guess, for anyone that doesn't like that, but we're going to just use that for now. All right. So what pronoun would you use for these two? Okay, so that's great. Some of you said antuma, some of you said huma, so either one of those works. But in these pictures, yeah. If you say antuma, you're talking to the TV. So when you're just referring to the two of them, you would say huma. And I'll show you what antuma looks like. Antuma, there's a little hand there to show you that you're talking to them. This isn't a great, these aren't, this is my best work, all right? But it is what it is, and we're going to use it. So this is, you'll see the second person will be made clear by the pointing awkward finger in the corner. And the third person will not have this finger there, all right? So let's start from the beginning and see if we can get through all these. All right, so what was this again? Huma. Huma. You can look at your pronoun sheet on your phone. That's totally fine. I always tell my students, you know, cheat till you make it. Use the reference sheet. Keep using the reference sheet until you don't need it anymore. That's how you learn, and there's nothing wrong with that. The second one here, what do we got? Hua. So this is one little dude. This is Hua. Very good. Then we've got 3+. What is this? Hunna. Very good. Hunna. All right, because there's no weird little hand there. So this is third person. These guys. So these guys are talking about themselves. This is first person, and there's a lot of them. All right? So this is Nahnu. All right, I'm glad you're amused, Shake. Nahnu. This is a bunch of us, okay? All right, now you're pointing at two of them. What are we doing here? Yeah, this is like, hey, guys, this weird guy, I don't even know who he is. Why his hand is there? Antuma, this is Antuma. All right, pointing at the one little dude. Anta, so anytime you see the weird little hand, anytime it's second person, it's always going to start with the ant sound. Always going to start with that. So Anta, all right, what about two of them? Antuma, antuma, pointing at one, so weird, anti, anti, very good, a group of them, but boys, antum, antum, because it's 3+, antuma if it was 2, antum for 3+, now they all of a sudden change their clothes, they're all pink all of a sudden, antunna, antunna, now the finger is gone, so it's third person again. 3+, third person. Hum, hum, very good. And now this dude, about himself, he said, guess who doesn't know the pronouns? This guy, all right, his name, this is I, this we use Anna over here, Anna, very good. And then here, got two more. This is for one feminine, this is Hia, and the last one, two little dudes. This is Huma, Huma. All right. So we're going to end the session by taking a look at a page from the Quran. And I just want to highlight for you all the pronouns that you would see on a page. I know you didn't have a chance to sit and really memorize this chart or the three charts and fully understand it. This was just a little demo, right? It's like at the end we're going to be like, click now. No, we're not doing that. But just wanted to give you a taste of what class looks like. So I pulled up Surah Taha over here. All right, and I just want to highlight for you all the different pronouns that we come across. So we start at the beginning. طَاهَا مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. Here we've got a pronoun in عَلَيْكَ. عَلَيْكَ. This is one of those attached forms. We didn't look at these quite yet. إِلَّا تَذْكِرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى تَنْزِيلًا مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَى الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. So this is the attached form of huma. All right? Where is it? And lahu. And there's the attached form of huwa over here. وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ هُوَ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى إِذْ رَأَى نَارًا فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِ إِمْكُثُوا إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا إِنِّي لَعَلِّي آتِيكُم مِّنْهَا lots of pronouns بِقَبَسٍ أَوْ أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدَى فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا نُودِيَ يَا مُوسَى إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ فَخْلَعْ نَعْلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى أَنَا إِنْ اخْتَرْتُكَ. All right. So I'm just going to look at these last two where we've got a few independent pronouns. We'll start over here. So this is in Surah Taha talking about Musa alayhi salam when he approaches the fire. He goes to the fire to seek guidance. And when he gets close to the fire, he's called out to, and he hears, Ya Musa, Inni ana rabbuka fakhla'na alayk. Inni, this is now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to Musa alayhi salam. He says, Indeed I, ana, for further emphasis. What is ana? Which pronoun is that? I, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking. I, ana rabbuka, I am, what is ka? This is the attached form of anta. I am your Lord. فَخْلَعْ نَعْلَيْكَ. Remove your slippers. نَعْلَيْكَ. Or remove your shoes or your slippers. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. إِنَّكَ. Indeed, you are in the sacred valley of طُوَى. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. أَنَا again means I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to Musa alayhi salam, he says, I have chosen ka. I have chosen you, فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. So listen to what is revealed. إِنَّنِي, indeed I, أَنَا, for further emphasis, I am Allah, أَنَا اللَّهُ, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا. There is absolutely no one worthy of worship except أَنَا. Except I or except me. فَاعْبُدْنِي, worship me, another attached pronoun. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish prayer for my remembrance. ذِكْرِي, my remembrance. All right? So I know this was a bit of a rushed lesson, but I hope you enjoyed it and you got a little bit of a taste of what class would look like. Also, in normal class, I'd be a little more mobile. I'm like confined by all these wires and fancy stage and whatever's going on behind me. So I just wanted to end by sharing what the objective of our full-time Arabic class is. One of the things that, alhamdulillah, I'm very proud of and we get to accomplish over 9 months with students that enter with very little background. The only prereq for our Arabic program is that you can read out of the Quran. That's it. You don't have to know anything. You don't have to translate. You just have to be able to read. And what we accomplish over the course of 1 year, from about September to June, about 9 months, one academic year, is by the end of the year, students are able to read and translate the Quran, and they're also able to read and translate texts that don't have vowels. Right, so that classical Arabic texts, they typically don't have vowels on them, so they know how to put the correct vowels and translate. Of course, all of this happens with the help of a dictionary, but they understand the framework for the language, they understand how the language works, and it's something that really every year, even up until this point, we're about 4 months in, I told my students just before we went on break, every year I'm shocked that they're able to do what they are able to do in just 4 months. Right now, they translate Quran every single day now. We finished kind of the first core part of the curriculum, and they're just translating tons and tons of Quran every day for homework. And it's, even though I'm the one that's helping them, I'm still blown away every single time because of the hard work and effort that students put in. And if you are consistent and if you put in the work, then you'll see beautiful results, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for your time. I really appreciate it. Our admissions is launching any day now, inshallah. Yes. I think everyone who signed up will get a link or something emailed out to them, inshallah. All right. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakallahu khair.